It's good to see all your faces this morning. For the people who this is your first time, welcome. My name is Pastor Benson. We're part of a church that's based out of London, Christ Faith Tabernacle. So this is the Bristol branch. So what I'm going to do is, it's going to be a really short sermon this morning. I'll just speak for about 15 minutes. I'm going to take my reading from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. It's a long read, so I'm going to read through that. They'll display it on the screen. You can just follow me on the screen, or you can listen or open your Bibles as well. It's the story of the wise men that came to look for Jesus from afar. So that's what I'm about to read. Then I'll make a number of points after that. All right, Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." Verse 3, when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." Verse 6, "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time that the star appeared. And he went and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." Verse 9, "After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it arose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary and bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh." Amen. So, obviously, this is the Christmas season. I was just telling someone a couple of weeks ago that it was as if it was January yesterday. I slept and I woke up and I found myself in December already. It's gone by so quickly. And one thing I absolutely love is Christmas. I love all the gifts. I love all the food. I was telling someone that by the time I'm done in a week or so, I'll have to go back to my gym to shed all the weight that I'm planning to put on. So you can go for it. Don't worry. It's Christmas time. However, this morning I'm looking at something I've called looking for Jesus in the wrong place. Looking for Jesus in the wrong place. So we see this wise men from the east. The Bible calls them Magi. They traveled all the way. Mind you, they didn't have planes then. They didn't have sat-nav. So they had to go through rocky regions. They had to really, it took them a really long time, and it was a very dangerous journey. It's not like now that you can just grab a cab or jump on the train to London. No, they went probably by camel or by something. So the thing we see about these people is that they were very determined to find Jesus. All right? Now, how does that relate to us? What does that have to do with us? What I've realized is that a lot of people in this world, one way or the other, are always looking to find God as well. There are people who will do all sorts of things. Some people would, travel far and wide. Some people will try all sorts of religions. Some people say, "Look, where is God? I'm going to try this. I'm going to try that." And you find people just trying all sorts of things to find God. So what am I saying here? I'm saying that everybody at one point in their life looks for God. Everybody, I believe. I remember when I was much younger, before I make my point this morning, when I was much younger, I woke up one morning and I was like, surely there has to be more to this life. Surely it cannot be that I will be born, I'll go to school, struggle so hard, you know, face all these challenges in my life, and at the end of the day, I die, and that's the end of it. Surely there has to be something slightly more than that. And I believe that question comes to each and every one of us sometimes. For these men, they were determined to find Jesus. Well, to find Jesus. Like a lot of people are determined a lot of the times to find God. Now, three interesting things about the story that I'm going to highlight this morning. Looking at this topic I've called Looking for God in the Wrong Place. So the first point we see about this men is that when they set up and they arrived in Jerusalem, I'm sure they were really excited. And they said, surely this man is a king, or this child is a prince or royalty. Where does royalty reside? Where do kings and queens, where do they live? Obviously, they went to the palace. I remember once I was in London, and I think I was going to, I don't know where it was, I was going in the afternoon, and we drove past Buckingham Palace, the full stretch. And I was like, man, how cool would it be to live in Buckingham Palace? Beautiful place. Anyway, that's not the subject for conversation this morning. So these men thought that, look, definitely, since Jesus is like royalty, he has to be in a palace somewhere. And they went to the palace of King Herod. And when they got there, they did not find him. They didn't find him. Now, how does that relate to you and I? How does that relate to you and I? I guess the question we have to ask is, why did they go to the palace in the first place? Why was it that that was where they went to look for Jesus? Well, I believe that for a lot of us, when it comes to finding God, or when it comes to finding Jesus, so to speak, we try and find him using the standards around us. What I mean by that is worldly standards, which is fine. So you've got palace, king, ruler, castle. So they were trying to use the standards that we normally would use in the world. Now, how does that relate to us? How does it relate to looking for Christ? Well, the first thing I want to say is this. A lot of people that I've found who maybe do not know Christ properly often tell me this. I was in the city center once and I was talking to a young lady. And after I'd spoken about Christ, she said, look, Pastor Benson, I hear you. But let me go and sort myself out first. And she listed all the things that she does, or she did. She says, I'm not going to mention what she told you here. And she listed all these things. I love to this. And I said, at least you're honest. And she said, Pastor B, let me go and sort this out. When I'm fine, then I'll come to Jesus. What was she doing here? She did exactly the same thing that the wise men were doing. She looked for Jesus, or she approached Jesus based on what she thought was the right way. So for these men, they associated Jesus with a palace. And they were like, okay, this is where I'm going to find Jesus. For the young girl that I was speaking to at Cabot Circus, in her mind, she was like, I will be able to find Jesus after I have sorted myself out, after I have stopped doing X, Y, and Z. So she was using a standard that was what I would call a worldly standard, which is, this is how I think it should be. So that's the first thing I say about these men. They had a fixed standard in their mind that to find Jesus, this is where he would be. Sometimes we have fixed standards as well. I must be here. I must do this first. But the sad thing is this. They didn't find Jesus that way. And to this young girl, I explained to her as much as I could. I said, look, you're putting the cart before the horse. Jesus is not asking you to be perfect. Actually, there's no way you can be. And she didn't listen to me. And she said, Pastor B, thank you. I'll see you some other time. And I'm like, next time I see you at the city center, I'm going to be on your case. So the first thing is this. They looked for Jesus in the wrong place or the wrong way. And they didn't find him. They didn't find him. Now, I'm going to make two more points. Like I said, I'm not going to speak for too long this morning. The second point is this. The Bible tells us something as well. It says, when they got to the palace, they didn't find Jesus there. In fact, Herod the king was like, hang on, which king are you talking about? I'm the only king in this place. That guy was a brutal guy. I was like, man, king? I'm the only one here. But that's not the point. The second point was that Herod now asked the scribes and the Pharisees. So those were the people who were the custodians of the Bible. These guys knew the Bible inside out. In fact, to be a Pharisee in those days, history tells us that you would be required to recite the Bible off head. So you could be reciting it, and they put you through the Pharisee test. And you're reading John chapter 1, verse 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us. And they go, hang on, you failed your test. There was a comma there. You missed that comma. Failed. What am I saying? These guys had to know the Bible inside out. And they did. And Herod asked them a question. He said, this Jesus that these people are asking me about, where is he? Tell me. And what did they do? They opened the Bible. And they said, the prophets say he will be born X, Y, and Z in Jerusalem and all that. What's the second point that I'm making here? The second point I'm making here is this. These guys were looking for Jesus the same way a lot of people look for Jesus. They opened the Bible and they read the Bible. But they didn't encounter Jesus in just the reading of the Bible. He was not there. And you know what I find, right, sometimes? I often tell people this. I became born again in 1996, August. You're like, how old is this guy that is got born again in? And since then, I have been super excited. When I wake up in the morning, sometimes I have to calm myself down. And I'm so excited. And someone might be wondering, why is Pastor B excited? And I'm like, man, since the day I met Christ, my life, I've been on a high. A good high, though. You know, before they edited this tape and said, Pastor, be on a high. What are you high on? I've been on a high. I've been excited. Even when things are not perfect around me, even when things are falling apart around me, and people are like, man, Pastor B, shouldn't you be sad? I'm like, I should be, but apparently I'm not. Why? I'll tell you in a minute. In those days, I used to read the Bible before I met Christ. And I was like, man, this Bible thing. I remember my mom was like, read Psalm 10 or whatever. I'm like, okay, mom. And I'll read, and like, what is this thing talking about? I mean, close this. The Bible for me was like, before I became born again, dry. In fact, it was like, if I can take it a step further, it was like punishment, like, my goodness. I mean, what relevance is this? What does this Bible thing have to do with my life? I'm not reading it. These guys were looking for Christ, and they read the Bible. But they didn't find Christ. So you're not wondering, hang on, Pastor B, are you saying if I read the Bible, I won't find Christ? I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying that, look, the Bible tells us something. It says that there is a difference between the letter of the Bible, which is the words that we read here, and the Spirit. I'll explain that in a minute. So the second point was they were searching the Bible for Christ. They didn't find him. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7 tells us something. It says there are times that there are people who are ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. That means someone can be reading the Bible, can be a professor of the New Testament, and there are quite a few, and not find Christ. I'll make the last point in a minute. So, the first point I made was that they tried to find Christ based on what they thought Christ would be. But they didn't find him. Like a lot of people do not. They opened the Bible, the second point, and they still didn't find Christ there. At this point, I'm just wondering what's going on through the minds of these wise men. They must have said, man, this Christianity thing is fake. I've read the Bible. I feel it's like punishment reading it. I don't know why these guys are always so happy-clappy in that church building. Or some people might be like, I'll give it a go. I'll go to church meetings on the Sunday. I like the way that Pastor Benson preaches. I don't understand what he's saying, but I just like the way. And they go through the Bible. They read it. After a while, 2-3 months, like, man, whew, I'm tired. I'm not going to church again. Why? They haven't really found Christ. But these guys didn't give up. They went a step further, which brings me to my last and final point. These guys had to do a number of things, right, before they finally found Christ. They had to remove all the assumptions that they had in their mind. They had to remove the thought that, look, I need to be perfect first before God can accept me. They had to remove it from their mind. They had to remove it from their mind that, look, let me just read the Bible twice a day and I'm a Christian or I will find Christ. They had to remove all those things. They had to declutter their minds before they made the next move. And that move was quite surprising. The Bible tells us that they went to a house and they found Jesus without palace guards. Not a fancy house. And Jesus was just a young boy. I don't know, maybe he was about 2, 2.5. You're like, Pastor Benson, didn't they find him in a stable with horses, sheep? That's for another conversation. But they found Jesus in the house. And do you know when they entered the house, they could have said, this is a scam. This cannot be the Jesus that we're talking about here. No palace guards in a simple house. No. Are you saying we traveled hundreds of miles and this is the Jesus that we found, so simple? We can just see him like that? I'm not sure they had that conversation, but maybe it flashed through their mind. But they had to declutter their opinions and say, look, everything that I've known about Christ, or that I think I know about Christ, or that people have told me, I'm going to put it aside for now. And the Bible says they encountered Christ. They found Christ. But they found Christ in a very simple way. There was nothing complicated about it. They didn't have to fast for 30 days. They didn't have to get themselves in order. They found Christ in the simplest of ways. The Bible tells us something in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. They sought Christ with their heart. They left every opinion that they had aside. They found Christ in the simplest of ways. So what am I saying this morning as we remember Christmas, as we celebrate Christmas? Jesus is telling us through his word this morning. He's telling us through his word this morning that you and I could be looking for him in the wrong place. He wants us to put aside all our opinions about where and how we think Christ should be. He wants us to read the Bible, but he doesn't want us just to go through the motions. Read your Bible, go to a church building, sing, and that's the end of the day. Oh, that's the end of it. No, he wants us to be like these wise men that progressed to the third point, where they actually found him. And Jesus says, look, if you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. You will find me. So I'm going to leave us with that this morning, that Jesus is knocking at our hearts, at the door of our hearts this morning. And he's saying, look, this is where I am. I'm just right beside you. Do you understand? And if you found him already, he's saying, let's keep it simple. I'm going to ask that we rise this morning and we'll take a song. But before we take the song, I would like us to pray. It's a personal prayer this morning. And the prayer is this. If you have not really found Jesus the way I have explained, he's knocking at the door of your heart. And he's saying, I am right here. Why don't you open up your heart to him this morning and say, Jesus, maybe I thought I knew you. This was where I thought you'd be. Help me to find you this morning. I open my heart to you. And if you found him already, he's calling you to say, look, let's put aside all the complicated things. It is you that I want. So let's just pray this morning and just really take a personal moment that as I reflect on Christmas this season, God, let me encounter the real Christ. I'll give us a minute to just reflect. So it's really a personal prayer between you and the Lord this morning. You can leave the person beside you alone and just focus on Christ this morning. Our Father and our King, we just want to thank you for sending Jesus to die for us, helping us to simply find Jesus in our lives. Lord, for everyone that is here, I'm asking, oh God, that might not know you the way you should be known, that you will bring them to the place where they find you. And for those that know you already, I'm asking, oh God, that you will bring each and every one of them to a deeper place in you. Father, I thank you.